I failed to mention that Pat and Shelley O'Malley are back for a little while anyway. Back in the back there, so great to see them. We had if you could stand tonight, we had just an incredible service this morning, and I want to thank Brother Kurz for doing such a superb job. I love to hear this man preach and teach. He is one of the best teachers. And I know he doesn't like to be all these accolades poured out on him, but he is a tremendous teacher, and I love listening to him. And it's just good, solid, practical living knowledge we need to live our lives by. So, Brother Kurz, come preach to us tonight. We love you. We appreciate you.
Praise the Lord, church. Well, thank God. I'll keep you standing for just a second while I just share what's on my heart. You know, if you only showed up tonight for the breakthrough song, you would have had a great time. Amen. But I wonder why that impacts us so deeply. And I think part of it is that there are some people here who desperately need a breakthrough. Okay? But that's not true for everybody. There are some here who are rejoicing because they've had breakthroughs. And they know what God can do, and they're anticipating He will continue to do that in their lives. So just a powerful move of God in that song, and if we continue to do that, the Lord will be glorified. Amen. Praise God. Well, you can be seated. How many of you were here this morning? Is there anybody that remembers what we preached about? We can forget a lot. But we need to open our hearts to God's Word because it's the truth that sets people free. We need truth more than we need anything. And so we talked about the heart. We're talking about the great commandment. And we're going to take the second component of that tonight. And I want to talk to you about loving God with all your soul. And then, of course, Wednesday night, I'm going to speak to you as you all come back. Because you don't want to miss the second two parts. I mean, if you learn about how to love God with all your heart and all your soul, you better learn how to love Him with all your mind and all your strength, which is what we will cover Wednesday night. So please come, and God will honor your commitment and your faithfulness. So we started with this well-known scripture this morning in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus, of course, had been asked about the greatest commandment, and He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." So I look at that, and as I explained this morning, I'm not going to rehash everything, but you know, this isn't a multiple choice deal, okay? We are to love Him in all four of those ways, and they're not just some generic blended together thing that captures our love. So what does it mean to love God with all of our soul, and how does that really differ from loving Him with all of our heart? I mean, can you really come up with another message based on one word with four letters in it? Well, I believe I can. So what is the soul? Okay, if you look again, and I'm going to give you a definition for each one of these four components. You get a couple more Wednesday night. The dictionary tells us that the soul is the very essence of spiritual life in a human. It includes our feelings, our emotions, morality, and conscience. Okay, now we all have that stuff. We have feelings, we have emotions, we have morality, we have a conscience. But our soul is what fosters our emotional connection with the Spirit of God. And our soul is what goes way beyond our ability to just think about God and get into the realm of wonder and appreciation. Okay? Leonardo da Vinci, which I'm sure most of you have heard of, he said something really profound. And I'm quoting him here. He said, "The average person looks without seeing, listens without hearing, touches without feeling, eats without tasting, inhales without awareness of odor or fragrance, and talks without thinking." Now, you married men, you can relate to the talks without thinking part because your wives have reminded you of that from time to time. We've got some experience doing this, okay? But Da Vinci is right. He's saying the average person can go through life, you know, they're just sort of not really connected. I think he's describing people who ignore the wonder of their soul And they just exist in the lower realm of the flesh. And we can do that if we're not careful, okay? Or maybe he's talking about people who ignore their spiritual connection with God. Their spiritual connection with God. And we need to remember, God is a spirit. And if our soul is that place where we connect with God in the spirit, then we better learn how to do it, and we better love him with all of our soul. When we do that, when we really love God with all of our soul, we will be awed by his presence in our lives. I mean, it will be amazing. We'll be awed by his creation that surrounds us, and we better be awed by his love for us, okay? If Calvary doesn't bring a spirit of awe into your life, you're missing something. That's where you really connect with your soul. God himself was awed by his creation. He took a step back. He admired what he had done. And then he said, he proclaimed it to be very good. And you know what? He was particularly in awe of Adam and Eve because they were made in his own image. Like we are, okay? You may have a hard time grasping the concept, but God is in awe of you as an individual. He created you in his very own image. So people who love God with all their soul will never take him for granted. His presence in their lives will constantly amaze them. They will be awestruck by a lot of aspects about God. They'll be awestruck by his wisdom, his power, his love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, all of these things. And they certainly won't view his created world or the people that he created to live in it as ordinary or common. We can do that if we're not really loving God with all our soul. Rather, our souls will be filled with wonder, and we really will marvel at the beauty of the world that we live in. Now, I know you can find fault with our world, okay? But don't be too quick to do that. We should be amazed by things like the birth of a child. You know, I haven't been there lately, but I think they still press their noses on the glass at the nurseries at the hospital when these little babies are born, and they are absolutely in awe of the miracle of life. Our souls should be in awe of these things. How about the wisdom and the grace of the elderly? How about the beauty of a flower? How about the diversity of the animal kingdom? How about the colors in a rainbow? And I think the stars in the heavens should leave us speechless as we ponder the endless expanse of God's universe. And undoubtedly, people who don't love God with all their soul fail to understand something that David said that was very important in the 118th Psalm, verse 24. He said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." I think David got up every day, whether it was good times, bad times, or in between times, and he rejoiced in the day that God had given him. And I think we need to do the same. You know, there are some people who don't do that, though. They don't love God with all their soul. They barely seem to recognize the beauty of God's creation, and they seldom rejoice in it. And I wonder what would happen if the stars only came out once every 5 years. I think we'd stay up all night and marvel at the God of the creation that we see. We'd marvel at his power. Our souls would cry out in praise to him. Everybody would be out in the backyard. Every 5 years, you'd get to see this amazing spectacle. But you know what? Because the stars are visible almost every night, we usually stay in our homes and we seldom even notice that they're there, nor do we give credit to the Creator who created all that. This is amazing. This is a God that sprinkled this stuff in the heavens, and he didn't just do it so scientists could talk about it. He did it with a measure of love in his heart that we could appreciate these magnificent things that he did. So we have the ability, okay, our minds can be filled with facts and knowledge, but our souls should be filled with an appreciation of the beauty and the mysteries of our God. Psalmist said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." The heavens declare the glory of God. And I don't know about you, I guess we're all on a different page with things, but my soul never tires of the wonders that God has created for me to enjoy. I'm not tired of seeing a beautiful sunrise. I'm not tired of seeing a beautiful sunset. I call my wife to the window in Franklin, Wisconsin, when the sky is turning red and purple, and I say, Anita, you need to get in here and see this. This is awesome. And it's not just about a sky. It's not just about some beauty in nature. It's about the God that did all this. I don't tire of the cleansing rain or the quiet beauty of snow or fresh mountain air. I don't tire of these birds that are once singing again on these spring mornings, you know, or the babbling brook or the loons calling across a calm lake in a northern Wisconsin setting. It's amazing. The smell of autumn leaves, the warmth of the sun on your face, the snow-capped peaks of the Rocky Mountains. And I know everybody's not traveled out there, but these things are utterly amazing. There's a drive into Aspen, Colorado called Independence Pass where you get up about 14,000 feet. And if you're afraid of heights, you may not want to go, but that drive up there is absolutely breathtaking. You look down and you see the river down there like a little thread winding through the valley, and it's just unbelievable. But I want to clarify something. The love I'm talking about, it's not so much for what God has created, but rather it's loving appreciation for the one who took the time to create all that beauty for us. He did that for you, okay? And we need to love him with our soul and express some measure of appreciation. And we look at all this stuff and we think about this stuff, and I want to remind you that we see all this beauty in a fallen world. This is only a small glimpse of what lies ahead for us in heaven. And God desperately wants to connect with your soul. He wants to reveal his love on a much deeper level than just intellectually. Okay, we're going to talk in more depth as this series goes by. But, you know, everybody could probably say, you know, I'm best at loving him with all my heart, or I'm better at loving him with my soul. I'm that sort of an emotional person. I'm best at loving him with my mind. I'm best at loving him with my strength. I love to get to work for God. I can honestly tell you that basically, and you can refute me if you like on some of the stories I tell. I am making progress, but this is the hardest one for me, okay? I'm kind of a more of an intellectual guy, pragmatic and, you know, rational and show me the facts. And I love to study God's word and I love to think about this stuff. The mind thing comes easier for me. And I, you know, there was a time when I would never cry in public, okay? You're not going to catch me being emotional. But there's something that happens when we start opening our soul to God. I want to get beyond just an intellectual level and understanding about God. I want to connect with him. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. There are things that are beyond our imagination, but there's a connection point in our soul when we connect with the Spirit of God. And so will you be sensitive to what God is revealing to you through his Spirit? He's not just revealing stuff in some big generic way to people all over planet Earth. He wants to reveal something amazing just for you. But you have to open your soul for that to happen. He's not going to knock you down and force you to open your soul and appreciate him. So I wonder, when is the last time that you were completely overwhelmed by something that you saw or something that you felt or something that you heard? I mean, the breakthrough song overwhelmed me tonight, okay? I had to pull my handkerchief out because I'm starting to cry. What are you doing crying in public over a song? Well, I guess I'm opening my soul up and connecting with God. When's the last time I was really overwhelmed by something I heard? Well, tonight, 26 minutes ago. Some people would say, boy, I can't remember the last time. But when it did happen, did you stop and let the love of God flow into your soul? And did you let your love for God flow out of your soul to him? You see, when words can't express what we feel as we really view the majesty of God's creation, when we're overwhelmed by the beauty that surrounds us, that's when we're really loving God with all our soul. I think this is what Jesus was talking about. When we are inspired by things like great music or great art, you know what we should do? We should remind ourselves that the talent we appreciate so much is a gift to mankind from a loving God. Don't leave a concert, don't leave an art museum without connecting with God through your soul, without connecting with your emotions, without connecting with your feelings. We can't just be like robots going through the motions. And you know, oftentimes we get to this place where we're really, really loving God with all our soul, and we might not even be aware of what's going on, but tears of joy and appreciation just seem to flood over us, and it can happen at some really strange times, okay? I got into something many years ago that I know most people don't relate to, but my sons and I really started enjoying winter camping, okay? And we would get our snowshoes on, we'd drive up to Upper Michigan, we'd backpack into, you know, Ottawa National Forest or someplace. We'd have 50-pound packs on our backs, and we'd trek for miles. We'd get to some frozen lake, and we'd set up camp on an island and do work and get all sorts of wood together so we could have a fire and stay warm. And, you know, it's a ton of work. Most people would say, you couldn't pay me enough money to do that. Okay, but we loved it for a variety of reasons. And I remember one trip, you know, we had three people working schedules and all the complications of when can we really go on this trip. And we all booked it. We all made arrangements. And then the weatherman didn't cooperate. It actually got to 27 degrees, true temperature below zero, as we were walking into the woods in northern Michigan. And we're going to spend 3 days camping up there in nylon tents, sleeping in sleeping bags. Sounds crazy. But it can be an amazing time, okay? So it's like midnight. One of my sons is tending the fire up on the island. My other son and I walked out to the middle of the frozen lake. And, you know, there is not a light source up there for probably 50 miles. It is pitch black. And it was a clear night, and it was 27 degrees below zero. And, I mean, it was just crisp, to say the least. But there were literally billions and billions of stars in the sky. Now, I've sailed around the world on my tour in Vietnam. I've been out in the middle of the ocean. This was as spectacular, if not more so, that night. So I'm standing out there with one of my sons, and he's a young man. He's married. He's got children, okay? He's not some crybaby little kid. And he looks at me as we're standing there. Now, we're dressed right. We know how to do this. We've got the right clothes for such extreme temperatures. But he says to me, "Why do you do this, Dad?" And my first thought was, he's saying, you know, this is really stupid. I mean, it's 27 below. Why do you do this? And I said, well, there's probably a lot of reasons, but you know what? We won't cross a footprint other than from an animal for 3 days. We will be in dead silence and solitude, and there's just all of this wonder going on, okay? And then I said, why do you do it? And here's this young man who actually is not always overly sensitive and emotional. You know, you got to put on the rugged, tough guy face at that age. And he starts tearing up. At 27 below, those tears can freeze on your cheek. But he says to me, I do it. As he's beginning to weep, he looks up at the stars and he says, because I am never closer to God than at times like this. And I'm never closer to the people that I love the most in life than at times like this. Now, you might think that's an insignificant thing, but let me tell you something. That never happens at Walmart, okay? We create opportunities where we can really open our souls up to God. This isn't just a casual statement from a young man who loves nature or who's a little bit impressed with the stars in the sky. There's something going on here that's much deeper, and I think it's loving God with all our soul. But let me tell you something. We need to do more than just marvel at the world around us and God's creation. Being a true disciple of Jesus Christ does involve a deep emotional affection for him and a deep love for the people that he died for. We certainly talked about that this morning. That's what the Great Commandment's all about. Now, he's delighted when we love the things he's created for us. He's delighted when we appreciate the things he's done for us. But his real desire is that we would love him with all of our soul. So listen to the great evangelist Jonathan Edwards in a statement he made. He said, our external delights, our ambition and reputation, and our human relationships, for all these things, our desires are eager. Our appetites are strong, our love is warm and affectionate, and our zeal is ardent. He says, our hearts are tender and sensitive when it comes to these things. We're easily moved. We're deeply impressed. We're much concerned, and we're greatly engaged. He said, we're depressed at our losses and excited and joyful about our worldly successes and prosperity. But when it comes to spiritual matters, how dull we feel. How heavy and hard are our hearts. We can sit and hear of the infinite height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God in Christ Jesus, of his giving his infinitely dear Son, and yet be cold and unmoved. He said, if we are going to be emotional about anything, shouldn't it be our spiritual lives? Is anything more inspiring, more exciting, more lovable, and more desirable in heaven or earth than the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel story is designed to affect us emotionally, and our emotions are designed to be affected by its beauty and its glory. It touches our hearts at their most tender parts, shaking us deeply to the core. We should be utterly humbled that we are not more emotionally affected than we are. What's he saying? Let me put it in modern day vernacular. He's probably sitting up here amazed at the people he notices who sit in churches like this and hear songs that are worshiping the God of creation, the God of redemption, and they appear to be unmoved. They don't seem to connect emotionally in any way. And they may have their excuses, and they may talk about their personalities and their insecurities and everything else going on. But we are supposed to love God with all our soul. And like he says, I mean, if we're going to be emotional about anything, shouldn't it be about our connection with God? Shouldn't it be about our spiritual lives? Shouldn't it be about this amazing opportunity to love God? Actually, loving God with all your soul is one of the signs of spiritual maturity. You know that a newborn baby can only see about 1/40th of what an adult sees? They lack depth perception, and their visual range is only about 13 inches. Until they are 6 months old, they're in a black and white world. But by 6 months, that black and white world takes on a kaleidoscope of colors. And by 1 year, they can see almost as well as an adult. Because they've been exposed to the visual wonders of their world through a process known as physical maturity. They're maturing, okay? And it's basically the same in the spiritual realm. When we are first born into the kingdom of God, we see and we perceive very little of the beauty and the love that God has for us. We just don't know yet. We do not yet have spiritually mature vision. But you know what? As we open our souls to God, we begin to see the things that we never really knew existed. I came into the kingdom of God at 24 years old, and I was so ignorant. When I look back, it is utterly amazing what I did not know about God. But God started to open my eyes, and it blew my mind. I learned things in his word that just I could hardly fathom. So I think we have to ask ourselves, how much of God's love do you want to see? I mean, do you want to see all the colors, or do you want to live in a black and white world? Do you want to explore all the mysteries of God? Do you want to experience everything that God has in store for you, or do you want to miss most of it? Maybe you're content to drift through your world, missing the beauty that surrounds you daily. That would be a tragedy. It would be a tragedy to miss seeing the beauty of God's love that he really desires to reveal to your soul. But you know what? This is where it's really revealed. You have to open your soul to him. We need to open our eyes to see the love and to see the beauty of God in everything that surrounds us and in everything that we do. He's always there. He's always doing something amazing. If not just his patience with us every day being utterly amazing. But we need to open our eyes to that. So let me quote a scripture. This is Jesus talking, and I'm quoting it from the Message. It seems to capture it in a way that really ties in with this message. This is in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. It fills up with the light of the world. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. You know what? We can pull the blinds on the windows of our soul, and we can fall asleep and miss nearly everything that God has prepared for us, not just in a collective group, but specifically for us. And we're not just missing the wonders of creation. You can miss the actual beauty of love, God's love and love from other people. You can miss the beauty of kindness and tenderness and compassion. You can miss forgiveness and humility and peace. You can miss the fruit of His Spirit that flows out of other believers into your life. Do you understand the amazing connection that we have together as brothers and sisters in Christ in this building, and we don't even all know each other? Can you understand that, you know, I've preached in hundreds and hundreds of places around the country in the last 30 years, and I walk into places where I don't know anybody. And there's this amazing connection in the Spirit. People, this doesn't happen on the job. This doesn't happen at work. This doesn't happen with your neighbors. I don't want to miss that. You can miss it in the big world, but you can even miss it in church. Because we have the ability to become critical. We can get discouraged. We can be negative about so much of life, and then we miss so much. So we need to wipe the sleep out of our spiritual eyes so that we can really see how awesome our God really is. So let me go back to the Old Testament. Jacob is asleep, and God's trying to visit him. God's trying to tell him of the future blessings that are going to come into his life. And Jacob wakes up and he says, surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. There's something amazing going on and I didn't even know it. He was afraid and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the very gate of heaven. And I was asleep. I don't even know what's going on. You know what? We're often like Jacob. We're sleeping soundly, and we are totally unaware that we're surrounded by God's glory. We're just driving on the freeway, grumbling about everything under the sun. We're just going into work for another boss we don't get along with. We're just coping with conflict and stress in our family relationships. We're just, you know, coping with situations that seem to be beyond our control. And we're sound asleep when God's glory is so rich and thick you could cut it with a knife. And you know what? We can even do it in church. You can sit in these pews and there are multitudes of people who are dancing and singing and praising and weeping and rejoicing and praying for one another and ministering to one another, and you don't get it. What are they doing? What's this all about? Well, there are people, hundreds of them maybe, they are connecting with God through their souls. They are loving Him with all their soul. And you can be asleep like Jacob and miss the whole thing. Worst case scenario would be that you don't wake up. Best case scenario would be that you at least wake up and say, oh my goodness, God's in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. I better get with the program. Maybe it's time we awakened our slumbering souls to really experience a deeper awareness of God's love. Why? So we can give genuine love back to Him. How do we really do that, though? I'll tell you what. To really do that, we need soul food. To connect our souls with Jesus Christ, we need to feed on His Word. I mentioned this morning. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's soul food. You can't truly love God with all your soul if you don't love His Word. You're certainly not going to love Him with all your heart either. For our souls to come alive with the love of God and to really daily behold His glory and just marvel on it, we must feast in His Word. And you know what? You can't just read His Word. You need to meditate on the Word of God. You know that reading God's word without meditating on it is like eating food without digesting it. It's not very profitable. Reading can give us knowledge, and reading can give us information, but meditating gives us wisdom and insight, okay? David says, I've got more insight than all my teachers because I meditate on your statutes. Now, the goal of reading might be to get in the Bible, but the goal of meditating is to get the Bible in us, all right? To get it in our souls. And we really should be able to proclaim like King David said in Psalm 119:97. He said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Can you say that? Is that a true reflection of your heart? Or are you one of those who's still mired in this camp where you say, you know what? The word just seems antiquated to me. It doesn't seem to really be all that pertinent. It's an ancient book, and I don't get it, and I don't understand it. You can make all the excuses you want. I meet people who say, well, I'm not a reader. Well, you better become a reader because you can't live on bread alone. You need to get the bread of life in your soul. Listen to a tape. Listen to God's word. Feast on it. See, the soul that is passionately in love with Jesus, to those people, his words are precious. They are really an integral part of a love relationship with the Lord. So I want you to listen to some of the expressions that David spoke about in the longest chapter in the Bible, the 119th Psalm. He's talking about his great love that he has for God, the love he has in his soul for God through the word of God. He says, I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I mean, you can give me billions of dollars. I'm going to rejoice in God's word more than that. He says, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Your testimonies also are my delight, and they're my counselors. He says, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Now, your heart can rejoice over a lot of foolish stuff, but I think we need to be more like David, where we rejoice over the truth of God's word. He says, I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for your commandments. He said, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. And he said, my soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Does this sound even a little bit like you? Is this remotely where you're really at? Can you honestly say to God, you know what? I'm a lot like David. I just love your word. I love the truth. I love the fact that it's eternal. I love the fact that forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. I love the fact that your word sets me free and your word directs my steps and your word is a light unto my path and your word proclaims the promises of a God who loved me so much he became a man and died on Calvary. I love that. So we need truth to get beyond short-term memory. We need it to really penetrate our soul. We need it to touch us deeply in an emotional and a spiritual way. Now, I know people have thrown stones at Pentecostals through the years. We can go back 100 years. They're throwing stones at how emotional they were. You know what? I think they knew something about loving God with all their soul. And I don't think we should ever plan on losing that. We need to let it touch us deeply. The true goal of studying the Bible is not to gain more knowledge of the Bible, it's to gain more knowledge of God. And not to just believe in the promises of God, but to believe in the God of the promises. That's what this is really all about. I don't want a bunch of head knowledge. I'll talk to you in the first segment Wednesday night about loving him with all your mind, and that plays a part in it. But we're talking about the soul tonight. I don't just want head knowledge. Loving God with all our soul establishes protective boundaries in our life. See, when we truly love someone, we don't want to hurt them, do we? Protective boundaries. When we love God with all our soul, it should, and I believe it will, trouble us deeply when we disobey, when we disrespect God, when we are rebellious in our spirits. You know, it's kind of like people who have this great love of nature and appreciation for it, they would never think of littering. They would never think of purposely damaging the beauty of nature. Now, we call them tree huggers, okay? You've probably seen a few. My wife and I traveled to California to connect with an ex-Vietnam friend of mine and his wife this last year. And we went to Kings Canyon, Sequoia National Forest. These sequoia trees, I mean, you could fit about two of them in here. They're that big. They are 3,000 years old. They are amazing. The bark is thicker than your children, okay? I mean, it's just, you marvel at them. Now, I want to clarify this. I did not worship them, okay? But I saw people worshiping them, okay? There was one woman standing, I guessed, with her husband. She was fairly young, and you can't get your arms around them. In fact, the biggest one, I think it takes 27 men, fingertip to fingertip, to circle that tree. They're enormous. But she has her arms wrapped around this sequoia tree, and she's got her face on it, and she's crying. She's loving this beautiful tree, okay? Now, this is not what I'm talking about. But there are people like that, they would never think of harm. I mean, if I had come up there with my jackknife and started carving my initials in it, RK and AK, and put a heart around it, they'd kill me. But I wonder if we can litter our souls with carnal pollution and toxic contaminants. I mean, can we subject ourselves to the images and the influences that this world is offering everywhere and allow it to steal the beauty of God from our souls? Can we allow darkness to enter our souls when God desires the light of the world to dwell there? Can we be less passionate about a relationship with Almighty God than tree huggers are with a sequoia tree in Kings Canyon? See, loving God with all our soul inspires us to do some things. It inspires us to keep ourselves pure because we're the temples of His Holy Spirit. And that ought to touch us emotionally. We ought to reverence the house that He occupies. So let me have you stand to your feet, and I want to bring this to a close tonight. If you truly love God with all your soul, let me put it this way. When you truly love God with all your soul, you will allow His Spirit to direct your life in everything you do because you're really connected with Him. You're not just going through the motions. You're not just drifting through life. You're not asleep like Jacob, okay? You will be sensitive to His presence. It will be very difficult for you to go to work and not feel His presence. Listen, if you only feel God's presence in this building on Sundays or Wednesdays, you're in trouble. Well, you can say, I work in a carnal environment. You have no idea what you're talking about. Listen, I understand what I'm talking about. You can feel God almost anywhere. Many, many years ago, as a young married man, I was working in a lawn chair factory in Baraboo, Wisconsin, and I don't even remember the name of it now, but I tried witnessing to some of the people on the assembly line, and they started mocking me, okay? And they started calling me the Messiah and different things, and there were a lot of women on that assembly line. There were some men. The women were worse than the men, okay, as far as how crude and rude and inconsiderate they could be. But I would come into work, and those that were already on the assembly line, they would get down on their knees and bow down to me and mock me and worship me. And they got a kick out of it. They laughed real hard. But you know what? I would walk into that environment, and I'd feel the presence of God. I'd feel God sustaining me. I'd feel, you know, I feel bad for them, but I know God loves me. They can mock me. They mocked Him. They crucified Him. I can handle this. But you know what? I don't think I could be at that place where I could actually feel the presence of God in such an environment if I didn't love God with all my soul. If the only place I ever emotionally opened up to God was sitting in church, I'd probably miss a whole lot. So we can be sensitive to His presence no matter where we are. And we better be attentive to His voice. If you love God with all your soul, you will hear the voice of God. And you will delight in His daily provision. And you won't be such a grumbler. You won't be such a complainer. You know who I'm preaching to here tonight? Preaching to you and me. I can grumble with the best of them. I can complain. I can get negative. I can carry my burdens around like a bag of concrete. And I can miss what God is doing. God is so amazing. We will follow His lead when we love Him with all of our soul. And you know what? We will marvel at His creation. And we will, regardless of how we were raised and what our true personality is, we will get emotionally involved. When you love God with all your soul, you can't contain your emotions. And you'll also love other people. You will love them with a pure Christ-like love because you're keeping one of these major components of the first part of the great commandment, and the second is like it. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. How will you love them? You'll love them with your soul. You'll love them with your emotions. You'll love them with your feelings. You'll get so connected with their issues and their problems and their burdens, you can't hold them at arm's length. You'll get involved. You might weep for them in the nighttime. You might get up early and pray for them. You'll get involved in some way with your soul. And you'll constantly be amazed at the journey that you experience with God. So, you know where this journey starts, don't you? It starts right here. And I'm challenging everybody in this place. Now, I know how big this altar is. I know you're not all going to fit up here. But as many of you that can, I want you to just take one little emotional journey tonight and come to this altar with a prayer in your heart that says, Lord, I want to learn how to love you with all my soul. I expressed I desired to love you with all my heart this morning. But Lord, I'm not leaving it there. There's three other components. I want to learn how to really love you with all my soul. And if you can't make your way to this altar, would you at least show God that that's your intention and kneel at your pew before you leave tonight? How about we get a little sensitive? How about we get a little emotional? How about we raise our voices? How about we cry out to God? How about we lift our hands? How about we get exuberant in the presence of our God? How about we're not ashamed to worship Him and love Him? How about you tough guy men let a few tears flow because you think about the beauty of Calvary and what God did for you? How about you surrender your burdens? How about you connect your soul with this amazing God who loves you so much? And we can all do that tonight. It's a simple thing that we can do, and we will definitely please God as we love Him with all of our soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, help us tonight, Lord.